Just mess up everything.
Do y'all mind if I record some of this?
We used to do. We used to go out
and buy. Do mind if I record some of your conversation here?
No, go ahead. On.
And our quills. You can buy a kid quill to Canada.
Oh yeah.
You see, the population trends vary, and now you got a more dense population, and then you got the, from what it was. You take 70, 80, 90 years ago, you didn't have this density of people. And you didn't have the commercialization. Now, you take right now, well, take last year. I've been had a cow since I was 5 years old. My daddy bought my first cow for $2, and they paid for him a quarter a week. It took 8 weeks to pay for him. But I've been had one ever since. And I took some stable manure, cow manure, and put it in the garden spot where now I planted those Georgia blue stem collards back there. And now the collards weathered the winter. And those collards has a different flavor or a different taste, like you said, from collards that were grown with commercial fertilization. Well, you take, like, you know, Vanna byproducts. Where you got the sodium hydroxide and that caustic soda and all that, you know, and what you put on the food or the grass and so forth. But there's a different, it brings off a different flavor in the product itself because it's natural or nature grown rather than it's not herd. You might say, I call it herd. My brother-in-law, he graduated from the School of Agriculture on Tuskegee, and he demonstrated that to me. Well, he was working there in Ohio down there, and they would test these things, see, and a portion of that chemicals, you know, come through in the fruit that it bared or whatever the product was, and that makes a difference. But like you say, Your grandmama and your aunt would preserve that food, you know. And that's what I learned as a boy. I can put anything in a fruit jar. Anything. And you know, back then we didn't have refrigerators or
no.
That, so see, and you took you got a nickel block of ice, which is about like getting that. And you brought it home and you didn't get it till on Sunday morning, no way. See. He brought it home and wrapped it in that coco sack.
Buried it in the ground?
Yeah, and you buried it in the ground. Well, when you come from church, see, your mama tell you, go bring me the ice. Well, you unburied the bag, you took that coco sack and you took that ice out there. You knew you had a big old water bucket where she made the lemonade. And you put that block of ice over in the water. Well, you take lemonade to me now, it don't even taste like lemonade. But it's another factor involved in that. See,
because you're making that 10-gallon can.
Yeah.
You know?
See, you didn't get it
as
often as you do now. You take, like, I look at the grandchildren, you know, I keep fruit and all that in the house all the time. They don't even eat an apple. They don't even eat a banana unless you force them. Because it's come too common with them. Well, you take, when we were boys, if there was an apple tree or pear tree or whatever fruit tree within 5 miles of you, you knew where it was. And
see, you the fruit.
Okay, right. you know, you went out, and like we used to do, we carried the cow. My dad didn't never allow you to let the cow drag chain. We never had a chain on the cow. We had a rope, plow lines on the cow. My daddy said, if you let them drag along, you wear them out. So you always kept them up on you. And we carried a cow, and you tied the cow. Well, while the cow was grazing, another thing you didn't do with that cow, you didn't tie that cow. You go around and inspect the area. See, because you didn't want that cow to get in the wild onions. Because that cow got in the wild onions, see, that came off in the butter or in the milk. And boy, you gonna get your behind part tore up. See? So you inspect the area, you know where the cow had to graze, and when you tied that cow, so she didn't get on. Now, as long as that cow, see, you carry that cow to water at 12 o'clock. Now, between 6:30 in the morning and 12 o'clock that day, You roamed everywhere. You went through the whole area. You find out, see, and this was like a reconnaissance tour. You were finding out where the pear trees were, where the fruit trees were, where the peach trees were, or where the apple trees were, or even blackberries. You found out where the berry vines were. See? Because at one time, sooner or later, see, you're going to have to bring that home with you. Your mother tell you in the morning when you left there, see, y'all boys, bring me some berries back this evening. See? Now, that was for the pie come Sunday. See? So you pick the berries.
We used to eat them.
See?
They come through here when it get real cool up north. Mm-hmm. They come through going to warm climate. Mm-hmm. Now, Hobo learned me a lot of history. When I settled in New York, I won a lot of money from people born in Florida, betting me it don't snow in Florida. Well, it snowed in two parts of Florida. It snowed where Florida on the border of Georgia, and it snowed where Florida on the border of Alabama. Now, if it snow in Thomasville, if it snow in Thomasville, Georgia, it's going to snow in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. If it's snowing from the jungle to Alabama, it's going to snow in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And I won a lot of money off a lot of Floridians. Tell her that. But yeah, it snows in Florida. If it's snowing either one of them states, Florida going to get it.
Get a little pizza.
That part of Florida going to get it.
Well, we got it in the same
them that's on the border of Alabama, the border of Georgia.
That tastes.
See, I learned that when I was hoping and it paid off.
Yeah. I tell you something else, you know, we used to do. When it snows, you know, you make the ice cream, you know, when it snows. And now you take, it like it snows, say 5 or 6 inches, and you knock the top of that snow off, you know, and then you got that snow in the middle. And you took, you put your lemon flavor in it, or the vanilla flavor in it, you know, and oh, shoot, man.
Yeah,
but now, one thing about it, if you ate a whole lot of it, it's going to give you what they call the thrash. It's going to make your throat sore. And we'd eat so much ice cream, and you know, your parents be telling you, can't eat no more, don't eat no more. Why, your mouth be so sore, you don't look like you even let nothing touch it. But you regularly try to. And then, I tell you something I did one time. You know, when you had the smokehouse.
Yeah.
And you take the large intestines of the hog, and you grind the sausage, you know, and you take a broomstick, you know, a little stick, and you pack the sausage. See? And you have to be careful that you don't tear. You hang them in a smokehouse, and then take your charcoal burner and you smoke them. You know. I've been around there. We had a dog named Old Light. He was a walker hound, and I was up there in the road playing baseball. You know, we didn't have you made your baseball, and I was all standing up there, man. And I was gonna time me to come to hit, and I had the stick thrown all back, and who came by? Old Light came by, man, with all the whole sausage. Shoot. Boy, I had to get that sausage back in that smokehouse. I ran, boy, the folks talking about, you know, like these world-class sprinters. Shoot, that wasn't nothing. He's talking about, you know, running a 100-yard dash and 9 and 9 tenths and the 4-minute mile. Shoot, we ran that back down in the 30s. Because when Light come by me, man, he had that sausage, and that sausage long here, that pole over yonder. Boy, he's dragging along there. God almighty. Boy, I went to running old Light, and I got behind him, so I was running him so hot. He dropped that sausage, and he went to hollering. Woo! Woo!
Now, 1932.
And I got that sausage and carried it, boy. I had slipped around back of the house, you know, wash it off, and I put it back in that smokehouse.
Now, 1932, when I got the first experience by the snow in Florida on the border of Alabama. And we left Jacksonville, it was hot. And when we got to Pensacola, it was so cold. And I made it on to Flamingo Junction, Alabama, and I turned around. There's a little place before you get to Flamingo Junction, Alabama, named Central Florida. The snow was had been melting, freezing. So me and my buddy turned around. I said, man, I didn't know it was freezing in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. So we turned around. We went back to Jacksonville, where it's hot. So then the next time it was Georgia. It next time without headed for Thomasville, and I got And I got to, I got out the city limits of Tallahassee. We had to turn around. Because it snowed in Thomasville, and that made it snow in Tallahassee. And so I used to win money from them fellas born in Florida. I went, I said, all right, ain't gonna take my word. Here's a nickel quarter. No, I got one nickel quarter. So, yeah. So both of them borders, we get snow in Florida. Now, one more thing, then I'll just talk. Now, 1972, when I come down the state, it was the 4th of December. So I was living on 10th Street there in New York, and I was in my shorts and no shirt. And I talked to my landlord and mother. She couldn't come out to... She couldn't come out the house in Pensacola. She said, snow was over feet deep. I said, we young, I was short, so. So that's the way that is. Them two borders, you sure get snow.
It's snow
that part of Alabama.
It's a mystery.
Pensacola gonna get it, snow in Thomasville, Tallahassee gonna get it.
That's too quick can happen with the elements. Now, in 36, that was my first witness of a deep snow. And then it snowed again in 41.
Where is this?
That was in Birmingham.
In Birmingham?
Yeah. And you take the snow was up, my daddy had his boots.
Oh, boy.
And my daddy would make a trail, you know, and we would follow that trail, you know, by where he would step and there. And now, I had to go, school back then, but the first school I was going to, it was about a mile or so away. And you see, in the 12 years in going to school, now my sister never missed a day in school for 12 years. She never was absent, never was tardy a day in 12 years. I missed 22 days in the 4th grade when I had pneumonia, and I missed 27 days in the 5th grade when I had influenza. And I was late 2 times going to school. I got a whipping for both times that I was late. Now, my mother would let you leave home until 8 o'clock, and you had to be inside that school door by 8:15. Now, that was going to school, so you couldn't go out of there. The first radio that we ever had was Fairbank and Morris, paid $3 for a used radio. And my uncle had it sold to my daddy for $3. And it was a shortwave radio. So I learned to speak German and Spanish from that radio. But you had to. Be there. Now I got the whipping because you couldn't go out of that door until they had a commercial on. What I learned later was commercial. Griffin Shoe Shine. And that the radio would say, it's time to shine. Griffin Shoe Shine time, 8 o'clock. Now my mother would be standing there beside that door. You know, you got sugar and cloth sacks then, 5 pounds of sugar in the cloth sack. Now that cloth sack, you couldn't take the scissors and cut it. You had to unravel the sack. Now she took that, and you know your basic scene is 5 pound sack of sugar. You made handkerchiefs, you know, and dishcloths out of it. Well, it was 10 pound sack of sugar. Then she put two of them together, and she made your sister a blouse. See, and so she had this sugar sack. She stand beside that door, and you had to line up, come out of that house. And she stood beside that door. When you come through, it's just like you're being frisked going to jail or something like that. You come through that door with your arms up like this here, like that. Yeah. Now she took that sugar sack and she wiped around your ears and round like that, across your nose, and she looked at that sack. That sack had better be as white as it was with a bleach. Then she took that sack and she went up on your arms like that. You didn't have no deodorant. You used baking soda. And she took that sack and went up on your arm like that. And she tore that sack out and she smelled that sack. And she got in the order off that sack, or if it was third on that sack, man, you get slapped in the middle of next year. And you had to go back and take another bath. See? She said you half took a bath. And then you had to come back by her. Now you came back by her that second time, and you couldn't go in and tear her. Because she still said you got to be at that school. That's when I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Running that mile, they're talking about the 3-minute mile or 4-minute mile. Shoot, that's slow.
Oh, them was the school.
Man, and you took out to go to school. Okay, now.
That was the school.
I had 16 minutes coming back from school. She gave me 2 minutes grace. Now, that's when I had gone to the fifth grade, and I had to go to the end. Now, council school was about 3.5 to 4 miles over there. But I had 16 minutes, man. The railroad crossing was about, I'd say, about 4 blocks from our house. Now, if you came up on it and see where the house was built, you know, a tall porch, and she stand on that porch. Now, if you were in sight on the railroad, see, you had 2 minutes grace to get to the house. Otherwise, man, she come meeting you. And she come meeting you, man, with a switch shoe. Long with that cut there.
Oh, yeah.
See? And you had to be there. Well, you know, that kind of discipline, I say. See, you didn't have time to get into the mischief. Now, even as mischievous as I was, I figured out a way to get around that, but I still had to stay within that time frame. So, see, I like to fight. Oh, man, with nothing I love no more than a fight. A good fight, man. Shoot, that's just like eating ice cream. And I'd go through, you know, through school that day, and I'd find my fellow Kenyan. You want to fight this evening? See? You want to fight this evening? You want to fight this evening? See? And, you know, kids, you know, right? Yeah, I'll fight. See? Now, I had to time my fighting. And it was, you know, black people live alone. People sit on the front porch. The man, what time is it? See, little boy, it's 3 minutes after 3. Okay, I can fight to 8 minutes after 3. If I had won, well and good. If I had lost, well and good. 8 minutes after 3, we're going to have to call the truth. I got to go home now. See? So I said, ma'am, let me know when it's 8 minutes after 3. Said, what you finna do, little boy? I'm finna fight. And man, we go at it. Man, we waller. And she said, 8 minutes after 3. Okay, we called it. We'll get it tomorrow. One night, that's when I said, that what they call the 4-minute mile,
yeah,
shoot, that ain't nothing. Man, you think I was running? And you show up across the railroad, 14 minutes out of three, my mama be standing looking, you know. Hey, well, there he come. And a lot of times, they ask, you know, my sisters, where's that boy? Where that boy? They coming, my dear. He done to come. Yeah, boy, so we be coming on too, baby. And so, wouldn't be no playing around. But, you know, that was the kind of discipline that you grew up under. And you take, you didn't have time, but yet still, you figured out a way to get in all these things. And I know we had a rule that said that you be at home when the sun go down. And we were playing baseball. I was playing third base. Now, I was an outfielder that day. And we had 1-0. Bottom of the ninth, 2 outs. I was playing left field. Fella hit that ball, man, and I took off at the crack of the bat, and I ran. And I was looking back over my shoulders, you know, and I rang my glove up. But when I traced the ball, following the ball to the glove,